I thought we'd start the night and just bow our heads together for a word of prayer for our brothers and sisters in Charleston and all the terrible tragedy that just happened there. And I'd like to encourage you over the weekend, if you just remember, to pray for them there. Pray for the city and that particular state, because they're going through an extremely difficult time. Our world needs Jesus Christ, and we're finding, all of us, in one sense, there's really no safe place in the world in which we live, except in the hands of God. Father, we just want to lift up these dear brothers and sisters to you in this little church in Charleston, North Carolina, and we ask you, Father, that you would somehow comfort them in the midst of this terrible and horrific crime. And Lord, I was so blown away today just reading briefly about it, and when this young man was at his bail hearing, some of the members of the church showed up whose loved ones were shot and told this young man they forgive him, even though he doesn't care. We just thank you, Lord, for these dear people. And we realize, Lord, they're going through an unspeakable, emotional, gut-wrenching pain and hurt. And we ask you to meet them in their pain and in their hurt. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bring this higher love through your people, your believers, throughout this country, into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, and that we would be a living demonstration in the way we deal with people of all races, the love of Jesus Christ. You're the God of all tribes, of all nations. You made all peoples. You created all the different races that are in the world, and there is none better in your sight than any other. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would demonstrate that in our lives and our living as believers in Jesus Christ. That we live the life of Christ to the person next door to us, the person across the street, the person in our workplace, the person in the grocery store or the parking lot, wherever they may be, wherever they're from. In Jesus' name, amen. We live, we're reminded. I just saw briefly today, I did not realize. I don't keep up much on the news in the Twin Cities. But I happened to be visiting my daughter's Facebook today, looking at some pictures of my grandchildren. And I saw a note that someone had written about a little girl that was just stomped to death last week in this city. We live in a wretched world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And might that always remind us of people's great need? Might these things always be a reminder to us, Lord, help me to call and in a sense access the higher power that we possess in Jesus Christ, and be a light and a witness and a testimony in the world in which we live. But our world, wherever you go in the world, we are not immune to sin, to evil. It's on every continent. It's in every neighborhood, whether it's Chicago or whether it's the white suburb, wherever it is, there's evil. And we need Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to talk tonight. This is part two of Tapping Into God. And last week, I'm not going to ask tonight, but I hope you went home and did your assignment. I hope you went home and thought a little bit about your belief systems and ask yourself, do you really believe and trust Christ on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis? It is impossible to tap into God except by faith. And it's not just a one-time faith. And I was explaining to you last week, there's the eternal salvation when we come to Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge to God that we're sinners, and we recognize we need Him as our Savior. And when we place our faith in Christ, when we let go of all the excuses that my sin is too bad, God couldn't possibly forgive me, and we simply let go and accept God's gift with our heart, with sincerity, instantaneously, the Bible tells us we're born again. And we have the living God right inside of us, and nothing can ever take that from us. People ask me, Mark, do you believe in eternal security? Well, you cannot be unborn. There's not a person in this room that can be unborn. You can die, but you can't be unborn. You can decide, I don't like my parents, I'm never going to speak to them again, and you have nothing to do with them, but genetically, you were theirs, and you cannot change that. You were brought into the world. Spiritually, it's the same thing. When you have been conceived by God, and when you placed your faith in Christ, immediately at that moment, all your sins were forgiven. You were made a brand new creation, and Christ moved inside of you, and you have eternal life. Now, from that point on, the power with which you experience in your life, the ability to overcome sin, the ability to deal with life, all of that will be dependent upon your moment by moment, day by day, genuine trust in Christ. You can't put that on autopilot. That's not automatic. That's why the Bible says we must continue to believe in order to gain all that belongs to Christ in our own life. Tonight, I want to talk with you about tapping into the power of God. And I'll start by sharing a story, and then we'll look at the scriptures together. I was about 27 years old, so it was a while ago. And I had two children and a third on the way. And my wife and I, we were in some very, very, very difficult circumstances. They were difficult financially. They were difficult with extended family. We were living in a difficult living situation. There was four of us until Jessica was born. And so just before she was born, we moved into this little metal box that most of you would refer to as a trailer. And it was all literally we could afford. It was about 520 square feet. None of the windows would open because all the old cranks were broken. And the trailer was so old you couldn't find parts for it. So the windows just didn't open. The paneling had peeled in places, and so they just peeled it off, and then they stained the peeled spots. All the fuses would blow if you ran the washer and the dryer at the same time. And we were there about 2 weeks, and the water heater quit working. And I just thought, man, no problem, I'll fix the water heater, because it was a little electric one and had a heating element in the side, and I was just going to, you know, unscrew it, put a new element in. The problem was it was rusted in, really rusted in. The trailer was that old. Well, we couldn't afford a water heater, so for about 3 months, we didn't have hot water. So my wife's expecting number three. We have two other children. We're living in this little metal box. And I knew that I needed to get another job. In fact, I had it before I moved in. But just before I got it, it was going to be 75-hour weeks. And there was this dear friend that we had. And they were very close to Kathy and I. And they came to me. They called and said, Mark, I really want to come over and talk with you. You've really been on my heart. I really need to speak with you. I said, okay. So they came over and they sat me in the living room and said, Mark, I'm just very, very concerned. I just don't think it's possible at all for you to work 75-hour weeks. I just don't think it can happen. I think you're going to run yourself in the ground. I think Kathy's going to end up ragged. I don't see how you can possibly do this and make it. And I think you need another solution. And they had a very good job. And you know, it's very interesting. I know this person now. It was actually a sister in the Lord. And they eventually moved to Minneapolis. And they have since come, and this is the truth, and apologized for this conversation. But at the time, you know, they were single, they had life together, and they just could not grasp our reality. They just couldn't grasp it. So, you know, by God's grace, as a younger man, I think I would have gotten angry or upset or impatient or said something unkind. I just sort of absorbed it, and I looked at him, and I said, I want to thank you for coming over. And I said, I want you to know that if I had another option, I'd take that option. But I also want you to know that I have a power that you don't understand. And this is what God has put in front of Kathy and I. And in faith, we're walking through that door, and I believe that God is going to give me supernatural ability to do what you think would kill a normal person. And they looked at me, and they said, how can you say that? I said, because the Bible tells me so. And this person had known the Lord for a while, and they looked at me and said, Mark, what Bible are you reading? I said, same Bible you're reading. And they said to me, well, can you prove this to me? I said, I can. I can quote you the verse. I will quote you the verse, but I can tell you this. Until you live it, until you step out in faith in it, you'll never believe it. It's one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible. Paul actually calls it a secret. It's found in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And Paul writes this. I know how to live on almost nothing and on everything. I have learned the secret in living in every and any kind of situation. Whether I have a full stomach or empty, I have plenty or little, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need. The Amplified Bible says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into my being. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The CEV version says, Christ gives me strength to face anything. Put another way, this promise means that you and I are ready through Christ for any and every challenge that God allows in our lives. And I really believe that. I really believe it. And for 40 years, I've experienced it in my life. Things that I look back, and I'm serious, you know, I just thought, and I had friends tell me, Mark, I don't even know how you're doing this. I don't know how you're making, how are you going through this situation? How are you dealing with these multiple heavy responsibilities and these multiple challenges going on in people's lives you're dealing with and the health issues that your family's facing and the financial things and the churches? You know, you may not realize this, and that's okay because you couldn't possibly know unless once in a while I tell you. So I pastor this church. I founded the Evergreen Churches. I help oversee all these five locations. I work with four other churches in our region. Three of them have been having some very difficult challenges. So I've been visiting them, speaking them there, on the phone with pastors there. I work with our church in Berlin. I work with national issues, and often there are many things going on that need my attention. And then there's just the day-to-day stuff of life. This verse I have gone back to thousands of times. I can do. I can do. Do you believe that? You see, we need to learn to tap in to the I can do all things through Christ mentality. Christ lives inside of you and I. And that's something we need to understand. We need to grasp. We need to believe. Christ lives in me. Nothing is too hard for God. This is the Christ who spoke the world into being. Now, I want to make a couple of things clear so you don't misunderstand what the verse is saying, what it isn't saying. I was having a conversation with a friend one time, a fellow pastor, and we were talking about this verse, and we were exchanging our understandings of the verse. And he said, "Mark, do you believe that you could do anything because God is in you?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, no, wait, what do you mean? Because you just said you did." I said, "All right, let me explain what I mean. I have never been trained as a doctor or a surgeon. Blood and I are not friends. And no matter how much I trust God, there are certain medical things and procedures that I cannot deal with. I have a physiological reaction, and I cannot stop it." I'll never forget my first daughter. This will give you a little our radical roots, my radical roots. We were going to have one of those home births, right? My wife was a marathon runner. She's in great shape. And so we just thought, hey, this is cool. And we don't like the system. And we had other friends that had done this, and it worked. And women have done it for years, you know, that whole thing. Thousands of years, so we can do this. Well, about 3 weeks before Celeste was born, we found out that she was a footling breech, which means she's going to come out like this. Bottom and foot first. That don't work for mama. Okay, that doesn't work. Bad things happen when you try that. So the doctor, you know, tried. Well, maybe the baby will turn, but the baby didn't turn. The baby's head never locked down in the position it's supposed to. So, no insurance. Mark and Kathy end up in the hospital for a cesarean. Oh, fun. So they give Kathy an epidural, which means a long shot. The needles freak you out. I saw the doctor walking down the hall, and I'm like, okay, walk the other way. Just go the other way, Mark. Just go the other way. So Kathy, she's talking, and she's having some contractions. Of course, you don't want to have too many because you can't push the baby out. We got to lift the baby out. So we go into the surgery room. And I'm sitting in a stool by her head, and I'm holding her hand. And there's a nice curtain, you know, pretend this is the curtain. I can see the doctor. I can't see anything else. That's okay with me. Except I have a problem. I'm curious, right? I've never been through this experience. This is my first child, right? So I'm 23 and a half years old, and I'm thinking, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I stand up on the stool because I kind of wonder what's going on. I look over the curtain, and I turn white. I didn't mean to turn white, but my wife's stomach was outside of her stomach, and it was kind of bluish and weird. And I'm like, oh, and I sat back down. And the doctor, he was not too kind. He said, "Sit down, you blankety blank. I don't need to saw your split head off this floor." And it was a hard marble floor. I looked down. I'm like, I know, I was trying to breathe deep, because you know, you get that queasy, like you feel like you're going to pass out and throw up at the same time. You ever had that feeling? And like, oh, God, help me, oh, God. I just started quoting my mantra, oh, God, help me, oh, God, help me, oh, God, help me. And he did, as long as I stopped looking. See? He did help me. So what I'm not saying that, oh, if need to be, I could be a surgeon. Or I could be a nurse, or I could do this, or I could do that. I'm saying that whatever God has allowed in my life or your life, God will, if I choose to believe, give me the power that I need and the strength that I need to handle the challenges that he brought into my life. That's what I'm saying. And it changes everything. It's a game changer. It changes everything. Like, I've used this verse for dealing with relatives who wanted me dead. I used that verse. Was it uncomfortable being in their presence? Of course it was. But I thought, you know what, Lord? You're real. You're in my life. You had to deal with people that disliked you. So, Father, give me the strength. Give me the grace. Help me learn to keep my mouth shut. Give me the patience that I need. Give me the mercy that I need. Give me, Lord, your understanding in this situation. And help me, Lord, to go where I don't want to go. I don't want to be in this situation, Lord. I don't want to go to that thing or that thing, but to honor so-and-so, I will do it because you've asked me to do it, but I'm trusting you. You're going to empower me to do it. And he did. He did. I remember we brought Jessica home literally the same day she was born, like 5 hours later. And the reason we did is because I had no insurance. And Kathy, bless her heart, I have an extraordinary wife. And she knew the longer we stay in the hospital, if we stay overnight, it's just going to cost us more money. So I'll go home. We didn't have a mother-in-law to come. There was no mother to come. It was just me, except it wasn't just me. I literally brought her home and had to go to my other job. My 75 hours a week, I was still doing it. I had to go to work. I had no time off. I had no paid time off. I had no, you know, you're a new dad, leave kind of a thing. I had nothing. I didn't have a dime in savings. Had nothing. We lived literally paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And I remember I brought Kathy in the house, and I brought my new little daughter in the house, and Celeste and Jeremy in the house, and, you know, in the trailer, in the box. And I drove to work, and unbeknownst to Kathy and I, right at the back of our trailer, so little Jesse's going to be in a crib right in our little room. You could barely walk around the edge. You sort of slid to get over here to the closet, and then her little crib was right there in our room, because there's only a bedroom and then a tiny, tiny, most of you consider it a closet. That's where Jeremy and Celeste slept. And so, thank you very much, Jacob. You can open it for me if you want. That always helps, because I'm serious, really. Yeah. Then I'm not trying to dance around with a bottle. Could you also dump that in my mouth for me? No, I'm Jacob, it's good to have you back. That's Jacob Quickert, Carl's little brother, and his wife, Jamie. And he hasn't been able to be here for a long time because he had to work nights. But God answered prayer, and God got you through that, didn't he? That's right. Finally, an amen in this congregation. That's all right. I know you're saying it in your heart. That's okay. Just keep it in your heart. So right where Jesse's crib was, there was a window, two windows. And you could reach your hand through the window if you could open them. And you could touch the other trailer. That night, of course, Kathy's looking forward to, okay, I want to try to get some sleep. She lays down. I'm at work. I work till 2 in the morning. So I work 6 at night till 2 in the morning, and then the next morning I get up and I was work till 8 to 5. And this guy who worked that weird graveyard shift thing, or whatever, his hours were really weird, he's just getting home at 11. He decides to remodel his whole trailer. Bam, bam, power saws going, hammers going for the next 3 weeks. And I remember talking to my wife when she got home. She goes, Mark, I don't even believe God's doing. I don't even believe this. My wife's 38 years ago, we were in a terrible, terrible car accident. Horrific car accident. It's actually a miracle we lived. Kathy's been in constant, this is the fact, constant pain for 38 years. When we brought Jessica home, there was so much pain in her low back that she could not on her own lift a gallon of milk out of the refrigerator. So a neighbor would come down whenever Kathy needed, and she was a dear believer, Derek Power's mom. Derek lived in the same trailer court. It's a little guy. His mother was an angel to us. And I remember Kathy and I exchanging these verses. The only way we're going to get through this is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and the power of God's grace. God's grace works best in weak people, and we're going to look at that passage in just a moment. God will not let you down, but we have to trust him. And I mean, we have to engage our faith. So here's kind of what it's like. Okay, I'm going to give you another analogy because this will help you get this. So I've been mowing lawns since I was about 8 years old. I still mow. I still mow with a push mower. You know, it's a power blade, but you push the mower. Not a rider and not a self-propelled mower. I have used those before. My dad had one when I was about 15. So I know what that's like. You know, the one that the motor makes the blades go, and it engages the tires, and they pull itself, and you just follow it. For most of us, our Christian life is like the power mower uphill. We know it's cutting, and we're pushing, and sometimes our way gets pretty tough, and the hill gets pretty steep. But all the while is that little handle that if you just pull it down and hold it, oh, power goes to the tires, and all of a sudden, yes, you still have to walk through the challenges God puts in your life, but he pulls the lawnmower. And you don't have to push the lawnmower. And that's the difference. That's the difference. That's the reality of what your Christian life can be and your experience. You learn, God, I trust you right now. I trust you right now. Now, of course, you have to understand that we're going to have to step out in faith and believe that. A lot of times, you know what happens for us? Our fears. My goodness, I've had to wrestle through so many fears, so many worries, so many anxieties over the years of my life. It's 40 now, and I think, and again, I know some of you get tired of my stories. You got to remember, not everyone here knows them, but I've only had one life. I do have many, by the way, that I haven't told you, but some of them are just, well, there's confidentiality issues, but some of the things I've had to go through, even pastoring, just, I mean, in my own self, my children have seen it because they live with me. They've seen the tears, the sobbing, the tears. I mean, I just thought they'd kill me. I just couldn't even believe the Lord allowed this to come along. I'll never forget some of you here when The Rock began, and 4 years into The Rock, I had a dear young man that I had discipled, I loved like a son, and he helped me start The Rock. And then 4 years into this, he left. He left right when Jessica got sick. My daughter was ill. He left. The church in Berlin fell apart. I had to start flying to Berlin. And if I told you, I have a book at home where I kept all these things. If I showed you all the things that happened in the same year, you just wouldn't believe it. And I remember sitting in my office thinking, God, I just can't even believe this. I can't even believe all these are going on. And I remember this going through my mind. Lord, this will kill me. Now this, Lord, is too much. And the Lord brought me back to that verse. Mark, the secret. The same secret that when you were a young man, Mark, when you were 23, and you were learning to exercise your faith muscle. See, faith is a muscle. And you have to learn to exercise it. And so God, he's so gracious, he'll start you out small, but it'll seem big at the time. But when you live as long as I have, and then you look back, you realize, oh, yeah, compared to what I'm going through now, that was small. But at the time, it didn't seem small. It didn't feel small. It felt huge. It felt like this gigantic obstacle in your life. But there's no mountain, no obstacle in your life that is too big or too difficult for God. And he lives inside of you. And he gives you the ability to overcome. That's the truth. That's the truth. I watched my wife all these years. I've just gotten to live with, she's my faith hero. Now, you don't know her like I know her, but I've seen her day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. I've seen her with her children. I've seen what she did. I saw all the people that we tried to minister to throughout the years. When Kathy was in enough pain that it'd bring tears to a normal person's eyes. And she hasn't been living all these years on drugs, on meds, which she could. I mean, her pain is that intense, and it's just not going to go away. The particular nerve issue she has and the damage that was done in that accident and the compression fractures of her vertebrae and what they've done, it's just, wow. And I just see the joy in her life. Yes, she comments to me about her pain. I know that she's in pain, but I see her trust God. This may seem like a small thing. Last week, her mother had a heart attack. That's not a small thing. That's a big deal. And we've been praying for her. And It turns out it's a mild one, and they found she had major blockage in one of her arteries, so they put in a stent. So I told Kathy, I said, sweetheart, I'll stay back. I was supposed to be at the pastor's conference. I'll stay back. I'll do whatever you need me to do. Would you like me to drive you down? Well, the drive down is a 10-hour drive. To McPherson, Kansas is 613 miles. Now, that may seem like nothing to you, but you have to understand what an incredible step of faith it is for my wife to sit in a car for 10 hours. It's murder. It's unbelievable. It's extremely difficult. I mean, my butt was numb. By the time we got there, I was like, oh my gosh. We got out, you know, we walked several times, but we did it. Then I set up a bed for her. I turned around and drove 4 hours back to Cameron, Missouri, so I'd only have about 6 hours to drive yesterday, and got back because I got a lot to do. She's there. She's sleeping on this funny bed. It's not the normal kind of bed that she needs. But she trusts. She said, Mark, I know God wants me here. This is how Kathy lives her life. This is what God has for me, Mark. I know that he's allowed this, and I sense, I know for a fact he wants me here, trying to minister to my mom and to my grandmother and going to this special thing that my mom invited me to. And I'm just going to have to trust God that he'll give me the grace that I need to cope with it. And not only cope with it, but be a joy to those around me. Now, that may not seem to you like, well, Mark, that's just nothing, but it's not nothing. Because I've seen her do it every day for 38 years. I'll never forget when we had Micah. Micah was a good surprise. We thought actually we weren't going to be able to have any more children. Kathy has very underactive thyroid, and one of the things that does is cause you not to be able to get pregnant. Then she got on thyroxine, and then the first thing that happened was she got pregnant. Micah was the last one because she almost died with Micah because of terrible varicose veins and a blood clot in her groin, so she had to take shots of heparin every day to keep her blood thin so she wouldn't die from a blood clot to her heart. And I remember when Micah's about out this far in Kathy's stomach. Even for a normal woman, it's difficult. For Kathy, it's excruciating. It's excruciating. And Micah turned out to be our biggest baby. So she's walking around carrying this big baby, you know, trying to nurse this big baby and take care of him. I've seen Kathy nurse before with joy in her heart and tears down her face because she's in pain. Girl just don't quit. She just don't quit. She just didn't know the meaning of the word quit. She understands the meaning of the word trust. And every day I see her get up, and she's told me, she said, Mark, I'll be honest with you, Mark, I sometimes just don't want to get out of bed. So if I just listen to how I feel, Mark, I don't want to get out of bed. I get out of bed by faith, and I go through this day, and I trust God. And I'll tell you, it's just been such an encouragement to my life. She's such a blessing, and I see her live it every single day. So I'm going to read this verse, and then we'll wrap this up. So I'm at this video arcade working at night. Back home, unbeknownst to me, Kathy had read this passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is talking about how difficult his life is. Listen to this for a moment. I have worked harder, I've been put in jail more, I've been whipped and beaten times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day drifting through the sea. I've traveled many weary miles. I've faced danger from flooded rivers, from robbers. I've faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I've faced danger in the city, in the desert, on stormy seas. I've faced danger from men who claimed to be Christians, but were not, and lied and slandered me. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. Often I've shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I'm carrying the burden of the churches every day in my heart. The believers, I love them, and they're struggling. On top of that, God gave me a thorn in my flesh, a physical thorn. So remember a few weeks ago I told you to ask and you'll receive? Sometimes what you're going to receive is different than what you asked. This is one of those times. Paul asked God, please take this physical infirmity away. Please take it away. Please take it away. Please take it away. Three different periods of time, the Bible says Paul pleaded with the Lord. Begged the Lord, take it away. And every time, each time, the Lord said, my grace is all you need, Paul. My power works best when you're weak. So now, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it's all for Christ's sake, I am quite content. I embrace, in other words, my weakness with my insults, my hardships, my persecutions, my calamities, because I know the secret. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'll never forget, I got home late one night, and Kathy told me, she said, Mark, I was sitting in that chair tonight. I'm nursing Jessica. I'm crying. I'm in so much pain, Mark. Just even holding her in this position, it hurts me so bad. And I was thinking to myself, this is so unfair. Mark brings me home this first day. I'm here. This guy's pounding back there. What more does God want from me? You know what, Mark? I deserve to have a husband home helping me, not working 75-hour weeks. So that's what was running through my mind. She said, I had my hand just to the phone, and I opened my Bible, and I read this passage, and God said to me, Kathy, what you're really saying, sweetheart, is you just don't want to experience any more grace. She said, I lifted my hand from that phone, Mark, and I sat down, and I claimed that verse. This has been my wife's life verse all those years. His grace is enough. His grace meets me in my weakness, in my difficulty. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I want to ask you to ponder just a few things, and then we'll close in prayer. Paul is telling us this great secret that through Christ and his strength and power, I can handle any situation he brings into my life. I can get through it. I can face it. I can overcome it. I can make the most of it. We do not have to manufacture this strength on our own. We do not have to gut it out, so to speak. God gives us his supernatural strength. Do you really believe the verse is true? Do you really grasp that Christ lives in you and he's the God of the universe and nothing is too hard for God? We need to learn to stop listening to our worries and our fears and our doubts and take God at his word. This is often the greatest struggle for the Christian. We have to believe. We have to wrestle through our doubts and our worries and our fears and then push them aside and believe that what God says is true. We tap into this power and this strength through faith by simply believing Christ lives in me and he'll give me what I need to face any and every situation. Therefore, I can do anything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. You can. My goodness, Lord, you work in the arena of real life. There is nothing, Lord, that you cannot help us with. There is no situation, no challenge that we face that you cannot give us the strength and the adequacy and the courage and the power to handle. And I praise you for that, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you'd help my young brothers and sisters here this evening to tap into God, to tap into this secret, and to really believe, to really embrace this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.